Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
You know, Bonnie and I, just the day after Thanksgiving, we had to go out and we were doing things. And you know what I noticed everywhere I went? Well, two things. But one, auditory, hearing, then visual. I'll tell you in a moment. First, I want you to thank Armin Decker and the team. Will you, Armin? Thank you, sir. The whole team, worship team, thank you. That's wonderful. Glory to God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So, visually, now just say, the day after Thanksgiving, what do you hear that's different? Christmas song. Who said that? Evans or you? Oh, yes. Ha ha. You get a free gift. Something. I don't know. I'm still looking. Yes, Christmas songs. You hear. And then visually, what is decoration.
Oh.
Yes. And the more, we have been so busy, we haven't had a chance to, we barely got home and had to do Thanksgiving. So, but amazing. I'm married to an amazing woman of God.
Thank you. Thank you.
We come one day, and 2 days later, whew, we have an amazing table set before us. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Woman does exploits. I'm not asking her secret. It's just, I think she's married to the right husband. I think that's part of it. No. Anyway, so.
May you have all the blessings of Zechariah that we're going to talk
you.
About today.
Oh, Lord. As some of you may know, he was struck dumb. That is not fair.
No, we're kidding, right?
All right.
Okay.
So.
Yes. The Baptist spirit needs
what
a kitchen.
Are,
here we go.
I was going to ask you, what are your favorite Christmas songs?
Go ahead, shout them out.
Joy to the World.
Silent Night.
Silent Night.
Away in a manger.
Away in a manger.
Angels we have heard on high. Mary, did you know?
That, I love it.
Yes.
What child is this?
Somebody said Santa Claus is coming to town.
That is acceptable. Christmas song. Oh, come.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Thank you,
Armin
Decker.
You come.
Yes, and if I remember, you are the one that gave us the watch night. I just want to spend the night with you. And we made T-shirts, and then we realized that not everybody would take it the right way.
But we had a song. You're the one who led us.
He's leading our worship now, just, you know, saying, be here, because otherwise you might miss something.
Oh, come, Emmanuel.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Does anyone say, hark the herald angels sing? You did say that. The gentleman on the third row said it. The first Noel? Little first drummer Noel. Boy? Yeah.
Oh, that's Lanny's favorite.
Huh? We Three Kings. That is true.
Holy Night. Oh, I love that one. Holy Night.
I don't know whether I should tell you this story.
Probably not, but you're going
time,
to anyway.
This is sophomoric humor. On our first Christmas in college, it was snowing, the first snow in West Texas. And two of my best friends were from Nigeria. And there was a A Japanese student. He was rich. I mean, he was from his son. I mean, his father was an ambassador. But he came, they were Baptist, whatever. And he would freak out at anything. This, I don't think I've told you this story. This is the first snow. Christmas time. West Texas. This is, I'm at my Baptist university. They're all very proper. It's midnight. We have this brilliant idea. I won't tell you whose idea it was. But he happened to be from an Indian background.
Was he born in Africa?
He was born in with my two Nigerian friends. We went out and I said, the challenge is to go out in your underwear in the snow. And so we had bathrobes. We went with bathrobes and underwear. And knocked on the ground floor of our Japanese friend. And it freaked him out because there were these three men in underwear knocking on his window. And then we sang, we three kings from the Orient are learning. It was one of my memorable things I did in my life.
May I just put a parental disclaimer on this particular testimony for all of you that are 30 years old and under? I yes. shouldn't have used that word.
But we had bathrobes, and we immediately, but we just wanted to show how hardy we were. Mm. Snow was coming, and we
don't
stood.
Try this at home or at your university.
This is when you are sophomore, and you need to grow up. But we. Anyway, that reminded me, it's your fault. Whoever said, we three kings from. Have we missed any other songs?
Go Tell It on the Mountain.
That's great.
Oh, Come Let Us Adore Him. Heard the Bells of Christmas.
God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Yeah. What? Yes.
Good one. Crazy.
Who is the guy who's just the most awesome voice and he sings Adeste Phileas? He's like Dean Martin, you know, in the days of Dean Martin and all of that. Did we do Little Drummer Boy?
Yes, we did. We could do it again.
Messiah, yeah. Hallelujah Chorus, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Oh, Little Town of Bethlehem.
That's true. That's okay. Awesome. All right. Well, the reason, there was a logic behind it. I wanted to ask, and I want us, that's one of the things about Christmas, looking, preparing ourselves to celebrate the coming of Messiah, of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Lamb of God, that enjoy this Christmas. I've really felt, enjoy the song. And sing them or just play them in your home. But it changes the atmosphere. Part of it, I like, if the devil hates it, we love it. Amen? If he's casting out, you can't sing Christmas songs because it's not properly correct, say, just open your ears. We're going to sing it louder than ever before. Oh, little town of Bethlehem.
Hallelujah.
But the first Christmas song, we're going to talk this morning a little about the first Christmas adoration and song, because in many versions, different people culturally call it something else. It's called the Magnificat. I want you to go with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 1. And the angel Gabriel has already made the Annunciation, and we could look at that some other time. It's in the sixth month, verse 26. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed by a man, to a man whose name was Joseph. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Rejoice. Say rejoice.
Rejoice.
So that's a prophetic word for this hour. I feel like I've got a vibration. We are receiving a word from the angelic glory. And part of it is rejoice. And let your soul rejoice. Let your spirit rejoice. And then let it impact your entire being. So healing. As the spirit of rejoicing comes, it is also the spirit of healing. May it hit us. And there is a, when we talk about the glory, and the angels say, "Glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill." It's the effect of the glory, the Shekinah, the absolute from the presence of the Lord, that God, through the blood of Jesus, has now made that realm accessible to us. So we don't deserve it. It's by the grace of God that the glory, the thick presence of God, may it fill our homes this Christmas. May it fill your car. We used to, there was a time where, golden stuff, this ghost, I don't still have a name for it, but it would be like gold. Our tables would get covered by the, we didn't know what it was. And as we talked about the Lord, this old gold dust would fall. And made it would cover our cars, dining room table. Well, I'm saying, I'm welcome. But above all, it was emblematic of the presence of the glory. When this man was driving us last Monday morning, Michael, he was still so grateful that 18 years ago, his wife, who had been diagnosed with stageful breast cancer, that I had a specific word of knowledge pointed towards her and said, "God is healing someone right there of stage 4 breast cancer." And it was the woman. And I didn't know anything. I didn't know who was it? Paul Harvey used to say the rest of the story. The rest of the story I heard about it this last week. She was completely healed and has been healed 18 years. That's the glory of God. See, that's the presence. All glory goes to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit's glory. May it touch you today. But it's not something way in the past. It's now. Say now.
Now.
And we have to aggressively find out whatever stuff I'm in. I got to exercise faith and lay hold of the presence and the glory of God. So in that context then, Mary, as she receives the word, then she sings the song. For me, this is the first Christmas carol. This is the first Christmas song.
Yeah.
And Mary, the mother of Jesus, is singing this song. And this is what she says in verse 46. Mary, really, it says said, but I would say it's a song. "My soul magnifies the Lord." Maybe someone can get a tune for it. Whatever.
Hallelujah.
"My soul magnifies the Lord." She really sings. "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." But this is the word of God. Mm-hmm. So it is not only just his word, but
Hallelujah.
It can living be claimed by you through the word of grace, that Jesus. So you can say, in fact, let's say it together. "For he who is mighty," say "he who is mighty."
"He who is mighty
Has done. Great things.
For me.
All right. Now, just let's pause for a moment. What great things would he ask for the Lord to do for you, for your son, for your daughter, for your daughter-in-law, for your son in college, for your daughter-in-law who's having little trouble getting pregnant. What mighty things. For your little business that you are dreaming,
yep,
would become as equal as faithful.
Wow. Amen.
Because it's not your limitation. It is He who is mighty. Say, He's mighty.
He is mighty.
Has done. Great things.
Great things.
For me.
For me.
And I don't think the Lord would mind at all for you, through the grace of Jesus, to claim He has done and is doing mighty things for us. He's doing mighty things for the church. He's doing mighty things. And remember, I never get tired. I think I used it a few days ago in Belgium. But I said, when Miriam, the prophetess, in Exodus 15, in fact, it was in Germany, one of the little postscripts was that Miriam, the sister of Moses, leads this great worship after deliverance. And from 1 million to 2 million women are dancing before the Lord. She takes up this timbrel and starts banging it and says, He has done mighty things for us. She was, I often ask a question. So pretend you don't know it. Next time I ask it, how was what? But she was 84 years old when she led the biggest praise dance in history. So if you are 75, and the culture of this age, or whatever, 65, and they say, hey, it's time to retire. No. Your ministry is just beginning. So He is doing mighty things. So part of it, whenever we put false limitations, God's word is here today to tell you, take the limits off.
That's good.
I want to take the limits off. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well,
I was so excited I got
it. It's awesome. We're picking up your excitement for the season and for entering in to the joy of the Lord. But as you know, we had been talking about the songs of Christmas and the first Christmas carol being the Magnificat. For me, I enter into this story and instantly you're in a great historic chain of events of the Holy Spirit that have so many facets of not only the revelation and presence of God, but the dynamic of His redemption in every generation down through history. Because immediately when you come into the story of Mary, you're also in the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah at the same time. And so you have these three individuals for whom this announcement of heaven and God's plan and desire being fulfilled in the earth in those vessels is absolutely impossible in the natural. And so we have that very familiar phrase, nothing is impossible with God. But it goes all the way back to the very beginning with the first woman and God's promise then in the garden. If you remember, He said, one day the woman will bear a child that will crush the head of the evil one. So instantly, as we enter this story, we are caught up with God. So it's like back to the future. And all of these events are strung together in a single moment. The promise to Eve in the garden of this coming son. And then we sort of leap forward into the story of Abraham and Sarah. and the promise of God to Israel, which promise we have now entered into in fullness in the church through the Lord Jesus, and the story of the divine travelers, the angels that came and visited Abraham's house when he, like Zechariah now, was too old for the promise to actually be fulfilled, likewise with Sarah. And yet here came the angel, if you will, the presence of the Lord in the divine travelers. And that in and of itself makes you think of the wonderful Christmas stories, because down through history, some of the most beautiful Christmas stories have been about a divine traveler, an angel, or someone, you know, sent supernaturally that represents the Lord to visit the poorest of the poor and bring about a wonderful gifting that shows the glory of God on Christmas. So this it strings us, you know, together with history. And there are two or three things that immediately jump out at you. And one is Mary's response. And Mary said, "How can this be?" Well, you remember Zechariah's response. Zechariah was the priest, you know, supposedly in the presence of the Lord. And she said, "How can this be?" Not as an unbeliever, but she was that in that question, she was asking the Lord to give her the instructions, if you will, of how she would cooperate with him in the fulfillment of his promise. "How can this be? I don't know a man, and so I'm asking you to direct me, Lord." It wasn't one of unbelief, but Zechariah's, on the other hand, when the angel came and said, "You know, your wife Elizabeth in the set time is going to bear a child," and prophesied about John, so on and so forth, Zechariah said, "How am I going to know this? It's an entirely different scenario." And I think, sorry to say, but or glad to say, Zechariah's encounter with the Lord kind of reminds me of Saul on the road to Damascus, where suddenly, as compared to Mary, whose mouth was suddenly opened in this great prophecy that was a song called the Magnificat, and actually with all of these individuals, but particularly Mary, Elizabeth, and Zacharias, it says of each of them again and again that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. For Mary and Elizabeth, Mary's song was actually a prophecy. So it wasn't that she sat down or read back through, you know, the Torah and remembered everything, but that is filled with promises, direct prophetic promises directly from God down through history. And she's recounting them saying, suddenly this is the set time that God has appointed to fulfill all of these promises. And so it's such a powerful and beautiful thing. And then Elizabeth as well, she's filled with the Holy Spirit when Mary comes to her. And those babies, you know, are also recognizing one another. So this is a whole community event, so to speak. And previously, whereas both Mary, because she was now pregnant and she's supposed to be a virgin until the time of her marriage, I mean, how many people were going to believe, yeah, an angel came? Right? No, not hardly. But this is her response, in spite of the fact that at this time she would have been looked on with suspicion, if not an outcast by her community. She has had this encounter with God, and her spirit and her soul in those contexts are in rejoicing because of this visitation that has come, because of the promise that has come. And out of that, both she and Elizabeth, in the promise of God, they both conceive. So for me, it speaks of how we respond to the Lord. We can respond either like she did in just show us the way, we're embracing the promise, or we can say like Zacharias, I won't believe it till I see it. And the blessing, you know, may God shut our mouth on our unbelief and open our mouth in a great song testifying to the fact that we believe and receive all of his promises. And for me, from Eve down through Sarah and Abraham into the story of Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zacharias, it says once again that nothing is impossible with God, and that out of barrenness always comes fulfillment, and that we should look for that company of people that see the glory with us and rejoice with us, and let that community's song grow and grow in praise and testimony to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, observation that I want to make, just and then go further as the subject you spoke, that as I, and then as I look at Western culture and Western civilization, and we were just a few days ago in a region was 500 years ago, mm-hmm. was yeah. visited by such yeah. mighty glory. We call it the Reformation because it was not just revival. It was not just, which is wonderful, I mean, that thousands would come to Jesus Christ. Remember the Billy Graham Crusades in the late 40s and 50s, that New York, I mean, was hit by the power of God, that each night for month after month, thousands would come to Jesus Christ because of the revival present. But not only that, the Reformation had such power that it changed music. It changed the educational system. It changed, transformed the culture to such a degree that people who had been touched by this grace, people everywhere wanted to employ them because wherever they worked, prosperity would come because they would be the hardest workers. They were transformed, not just in their religious thinking, but in the way they believed, behaved, and the culture was transformed. History, even now, there's a kind of level of prosperity that's in the Northern Europe that's not present in Southern Europe because the effect of the Reformation was so powerful that it impacted history of those nations. Anyway, as we look at that, it was a power of belief. The power of unbelief is the opposite. It takes away. And so, in a minor way, now I don't want to jump on Zacharias, but the father of John the Baptist was not, God did not necessarily give him big champion badge of you are a big man of faith. The angel, in fact, said, by the way, just minor annoyance where you asked me a question. For the rest of this pregnancy, you are going to be dumb. You are not going to talk. We don't want to hear you. Thank you. But you don't have an opinion. Thank you very much. We don't. And that's the way God thinks. Okay, the angel was not in rebellion to God. But in one way, what it shows me is culturally, in Western civilization, we have promoted unbelief
and
questioning of anything that God would do or could do. Huh. I am so brilliant, I'm going to argue with you. I am so clever, and I would say, you are not going to talk for the next 4 years. If I had my choice, I would improve on the angel. Yeah. And for the next 10 years, remain dumb. Especially for those who have for centuries prided themselves now in Europe and in America, we don't believe in the American Foundation. We don't believe in the pilgrims. We don't believe. They were nasty people. You know, here they brought faith and they brought education. They brought all, and they take pride in denigrating the heroes who are the founders of this nation, of this culture, Judeo-Christian, and people question it. I would say, if I'm asking, maybe it's really fleshly prayer. I need to be corrected in this. But those who disdain faith and question the things of God, may they be silenced.
Amen.
And may power come.
Amen.
On the witness.
Amen.
Of the church.
Amen.
And the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's just a slight little prayer request. I'm just saying, we're going to have the victory. We're going to have revival in this nation. And our children are not going to be educated by these donkeys.
Amen.
Who really doubt anything that God would do. May we have a church that's on the march, onward Christian soldiers.
Hallelujah.
Marching us to war. Come. I mean, I'm just inspired by the angel.
And it really is a comedy act because if you think about what was going on when Zacharias got home, I mean, in that culture, et cetera, et cetera. And now all of a sudden, Elizabeth is the only one that can talk.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I mean, it is. You're the one who's always bringing up the various comedy scenes that are everywhere in the Bible. That's one of them.
And what's your opinion? My husband told me to talk for him. And
it's awesome. I know.
It would have been great. Anyway, also in this context, then I'll become my religious pastoral self now. Oh. Not well, a little bit. As Mary, so my soul magnifies the Lord. Yeah. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. What you see, if I can submit it this way, is that we are seeing, if I can say it, Mary is the first Christian. And she has been so impacted by what, not only what the angel has said, but what she now believes is happening. Something miraculous happening to her. And she is the, basically, I would say, she's the first life transformed by the Christmas message. Basically, and what is the Christmas message then? That God's only child became humanity. So we humans might become God's children.
That's good. Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, you can clap.
Amen. Amen.
That's the Christmas message. God's only son, God's only child.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Became humanity.
Thank you.
So we, humans,
hallelujah,
might become the children of God and therefore have eternal life.
Yeah.
Praise God. So, and she models the Christmas message. And that's very important for us to notice that it's not just like,
hallelujah,
okay, I have, and I did it myself. I mean, I loved the Lord so much when I got zapped by the Holy Spirit. I remember 1972. I was a campus crusade follower. And I knocked on so many doors passionately. Hello? Do you know the four spiritual laws? Huh? And then we would leave. At least lead them in prayer. You want to lead a prayer? Yes, I'll pray with you. Just to get rid of you. Thank you very much. So I would knock on doors. But just saying a prayer is not, I mean, thank God. Maybe it'll stick, maybe it won't. But you see, Mary, she is completely transformed. Her song shows the transformation. And the angel tells her, you are going to be overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God's own Son is coming.
Wow.
Wow. And for a moment, it takes Mary a moment. I mean, it takes time to comprehend, and then she gets redefined. And at the center of her being, she is being transformed. And that's part of the faith in Jesus Christ, is that we are transformed at the core of our being. Where is your being? But it has been transformed by the message of the glory of God. He has come and made us people who are born again now. We are God's children. Something. It's not just some intellectual experience. We're saying, yeah, God can do it now. No. I am transformed. And it for me, there are some that's why I would recommend a very exciting book. It should be made into like the second Raiders of the Lost Ark, called Only Love Can Make a Miracle. Anyway, but I was a Hindu from generations of Hindus. And as I looked at this experience, analyzed it this week, I realized it. I thought it was just that overnight visit I got to heaven. But I realized now the Holy Spirit had been working over me for months.
Yeah.
And he would come and I would struggle. And I would struggle. And I realized I would not turn. It means turning my back on my family history, turning my back on 900 years of who we were as the Rajput. We were a part of caste called Rajput caste. And Hindus, with committed Hindus, warriors against Islam and all that. I mean, it was generations of them. And suddenly, I'm being asked to accept Jesus Christ and not so much be nasty towards other things, but realize this is a different path than generations of my ancestors. I'm going to be a Christian. And then overnight, I get a visit. And at the core of my being, I am transformed. And that's what, that we have been transformed. You have been transformed. At the core of your being, your identity has changed. And that's what we find about Mary, that she is the first Christian in Hallelujah. That sense, that she has been transformed. And it's not just getting a little book of positive thinking and saying, okay, all my negative thoughts are going out. It's something else. I am transformed by faith in Jesus Christ. And all of us who have had that experience, and I saw several people raising their hand, because you have had that experience at the core of your being, your identity changed.
Lord and Jesus.
That power from of the mercy of the glory of God came from on high, and it has shaken me at my depths.
Yeah.
My soul magnifies the Lord. Because my foundations have been shaken. That's, remember, it's in the one of the hymns. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. That's, now I'm going to be like Zechariah for a moment. Let you know.
Well, by the way, I'm not going to be like Elizabeth, just saying. The whole idea of visitation, you know, and I just felt like a moment we could all just throw our hands up and say, Lord, visit us. Lord, visit us. Lord, visit our little stable. Lord, visit us individually in the stable of our hearts. Lord, visit us in our families, in the manger, in the cowshed of our families. Lord, visit us in our cities. Lord, visit us in our churches. Lord, send your holy message and messengers to us once again in our nation. Lord, visit us. This season, visit us this season. In fulfillment of all of your promises, visit us, Lord God. You've heard our hearts now rising before you, crying out, be it unto me according to your word, Lord. That putting away of every bit of unbelief that would say, you know, I won't believe it till I see it. Lord, visit us. We receive the visit of God in this season, and we worship you. We worship you, and we worship you for your visitation. We recognize that angels are on assignment, and we thank you now, Lord, that you're sending to us your angels, some clothed in the disguise of human flesh, but we welcome your visitors sent from heaven at this time, Lord God, to enrich the faith and to fulfill the promises of every family. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You know, I was transformed. And one of the things I was thinking about while you were talking, Pastor, is you know, in my family, in my background, my mother was about a year or two before I was born, my mother got saved. She was born again, and she was a very committed Christian. This story and the characters in the story remind me of my mother, because she was always a very humble servant. That really is the way that you could describe her in every season of her life, in every way. But this story shows the humility and serving nature of God, and he chose those kind of people to come to and come through. And we bless you because we live in the privilege of a community of faith, of humble serving people. And may the Lord give us joy. May the Lord give us joy. Joy in one another, joy in his promises, joy in our community life together, joy in the good reputation and the grace and the love that he gives us from all around the world that comes here daily and weekly. May the Lord continue to visit us in his joy. But talking about transformation, I was taken to church as a child, and I knew the gospel idea, and I knew the gospel story, and I actually received the Lord Jesus when I was 8. But there was a point when I was 18 of a real deep spirit-soul transformation that occurred when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And these three people, it says of Mary, she's prophesying here as she's filled with the Spirit. Her song is that. Elizabeth, likewise, when she greets Mary and John the Baptist leaps in her womb because Jesus is present. And she prophesies and she sings. And then when Zechariah's tongue is loosed, he prophesies and he sings. So the fullness of the Holy Spirit changes our testimony. It gives us a song and changes not only the way we think, but the way we believe, the way we are. And when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, one of the things that occurred to me, like you leaving your family tradition, I had to do the same, even though it wasn't, you know, necessarily a pagan thing. My family had traditions. We had a way of thinking, an identity that we had. And there was a very specific period where I was in your church. You were pastoring us. And during one of our corporate fasts, the Lord came and really started dealing with my heart and my identity and showed me how connected to my own natural family identity, to my natural father's identity. And the Lord came and in his gracious way put his spirit and his word between soul and, you know, flesh and spirit in me, and had me transfer my childhood, so to speak, from one father to a different father. Mm. And that's, I think that's so important, you know, the thing that you read about born to raise the sons of earth, born to give us sons, second birth. And, you know, God gave his only child in order to have us as his children. And I remember the major transformation for me was that moving of my identity from my natural father, my natural family, to a whole different fatherhood. And frankly, I think that is one of the most important things that occurs to Christians. Because then it makes you able to realize you're a supernatural member of other believers. It gives you a different family. And Jesus said anyone who has left their family, their houses or land, natural inheritance, stepping into what God has for us will receive in this life a hundredfold and eternal life. So we pray and bless and declare for all of you as the children of God through the child that came at Christmas, a hundredfold return. For all the family you have given up and left, for all the riches, lands, moves that you've made, things that you've laid down where you've gone low, may the Lord raise you up and give you a hundredfold blessing. Hallelujah.
Amen. Wow. Amen. Hundredfold. Say hundredfold. And the whole thing, that's why, it's at Christmas time, just as we approach this next 4 weeks, in some ways, different people have different ways of dating, but 4 Sundays from Christmas. So this is Advent Sunday for us. And we are looking towards Christmas. As we look at the angels, glory to God in the highest, look at the babe in the manger in Bethlehem, it gives you, and it should give us, a sense of wonder. And you say, this babe coming not only transformed history, but is transforming me. He was born to transform me. And this is awesome, and it's wondrous, and it's incredible. I remember at one of the harvest party before this last harvest party, and I had one of the kids that there were several kids dressed up in, you know, several young ladies. I remember Eliza dressed up as Wonder Woman, and all. And then one of the kids ran up to me and gave me a big hug and jumped in my lap, and he was and a big eye. And I said, I know Superman. I know Iron Man. I know. Who is I? And then I remember seeing the movie, The Incredibles. I was being hugged by an Incredible. But it is this babe who transformed this. This is incredible. And you are part of the incredible miracle because you have been transformed. So it is, we should, part of this then, Christmas, is we regain, if we have lost the sense of wonder, the wonder of being part of this whole thing that transformed society. We went and saw, had a little sample of this in Europe, that history was transformed by the message of Jesus Christ in nation after nation. And this is happening even today. May we be those who are wondrous in our recognizing that it's so incredible that, and we have an awesome God. Say awesome.
Awesome.
And Mary, therefore, as she sings, we barely touch on what she was saying, but as I read this, that she is singing this song, He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him. So, because he has seen the lowly estate, see, Mary is not so impressed with herself. She is humble, and that's an example for us, that until we reach that state of humility, the incredible wonder of God and his power cannot enter in. So we have to go by the humble gate. And therefore we see he who is mighty, and there's no one, I think the other name, maybe we should write a book called The Mighty Ones.
Hallelujah.
Because he who is mighty has done great things. Heather, I need to write a book called The Mighty One. Because the Mighty One has made you mighty with the power of the Holy Spirit. And holy is his name. So the other aspect is holy. And here, she is gripped by this amazing thing and defined by this truth. Capital T, capital R, capital U, T, H. There is an awesome truth that defines every other truth. And therefore, these other songs that we talked about, just think of the truths here. Like joy to the world. We mentioned joy to the world. Here it says, joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let Russia receive her king. Let India receive her king. Let Egypt receive her king. Let Indonesia receive her king. Let the whole earth, let Germany and France and Great Britain receive her king. And let heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. Wow. Far as the curse is found, the curse is being broken by Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then, as he comes, even the second coming, he rules the world with truth and grace. Makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So let the singing commence. Hallelujah. For this Christmas and release more glory, more power. He is mighty.
He is mighty.
Raise your hand and say, He is mighty.
Mighty to save.
Mighty to heal.
Mighty to restore.
Mighty to deliver.
Mighty to transform.
Mighty to give abundance.
Mighty to give revival.
May the Holy Spirit overshadow all of us and give us more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Awesome. Awesome. In that, then, there is a mighty army being raised who are going to do impossible things. You are part of it. Say, mighty to save.
Mighty to save.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And in that, see, the mighty to break the yoke of racism. Mighty to break spirit of violence. Mighty to give deliverance to addiction. Mighty to lift depression. Mighty to lift discouragement. Mighty to deliver us from every fear. He is mighty. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise. I feel like singing.
I think we should.
All right.
We should sing. Yes, we should.
Armin?
Yeah.
Shall we sing Joy to the World?
Why not?
Let's sing Joy to the World. Are you ready? Would you like to do that? And then, as we conclude here, wow.
Yes.
Then I want the healing team after we to come here. You want to give your life to Jesus? Come up, and that way we have prayer and healing team here. Huh? And online too. Amen. By the way, I forgot to tell online people, since this is the time of exchanging of gifts and all that, that this is the time to catch up on our donations and tithes. There is a place. What do we do? Huh?
Click on donate.
Click on donate, and there is a number. What do we do? Text to give. I forget this. I need to transform to the next level of the digital world. Text to give. Yeah. And the video team, put it up there,
there
right there.
Is, yep.
Praise God. You are so fast. Awesome. You are part of the incredible. If you want to get filled with the Spirit, this is the time. May the Spirit overshadow you. If you have never spoken in tongues, you need the Holy Ghost. Oh, Mary was overshadowed and filled with the Holy Ghost. Ask your neighbor, you filled with the Holy Ghost? You speak in tongues? Hallelujah. Nothing is impossible.
Amen.
And I feel like this Christmas, God's going to do reconciliation for families. And people, if you have not talked with someone, that God's gift is there, if there's been a broken thing, forgive and go on. Okay? There are going to be miracles, and I want you to write them down. And you can write down, if you have a moment, and give it to us. I would agree with you for the next 4 weeks. Which are 5 mighty things you want God to do for you or your family? And we're going to agree. And after we have done lots of feasting, remember the shortbread cookies that could be baked, but they, or different kinds of baked stuff that some pastors like. This one, he will not turn them away. Anyway, after we... There will be, in January, there'll be a season. We're going to enter the new year with fasting. Okay? And we're going to do some fun fasting too. But right now, we're going to do fun celebrating. I feel such joy. It's just supernatural.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.